I'm joined this afternoon by the principal of Pobl Ysgol na Trian Oda, Seamus O'Callaghan, who's going to chat to us about going back to school and what parents and the students can expect. Seamus, how are you?
Very good. Thank you indeed for the chance to touch base.
No problem at all. Seamus, we'll start off with, how are preparations coming on for the return to school?
Preparations are coming on very well. There was a roadmap published almost 3 weeks ago now by the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, and we've been implementing the guidance there as best we can. We have a huge amount of work being done at the moment by parents, students and teachers in the school at the moment, all working through proper social distancing, and there's a huge amount happening. And my first thing is to thank the parents and students and the staff for their wonderful work before school even opened. So preparations are going well. A lot involved in the plan, I must say.
That's good. And are you happy enough with the guidance you're getting from the Minister for Education?
Yeah, the guidance, to be fair, was very comprehensive. And no matter how detailed the guidance from a national government is, obviously there's always a local context and local circumstances with each school. And there are individual circumstances with each student as well, you know, that the guidance isn't going to answer everything absolutely perfectly and clearly. But to be fair to the government, I do think they put as much thought and preparation into the guidance as they possibly could. I have a certain sympathy of the government at one level, because the health, the advice they're getting from the health experts is almost changing by the week. And at one level, advice that's very clear on a Monday could well be out of date by the following week. However, the plan at the time it was published was, I think, as good as it could have been by any group of experts trying to do their best to reopen schools in, let's face it, very challenging circumstances.
How can we ensure that students return with as little anxiousness as possible and ease parents' concerns?
It's a very relevant matter, because, look, everybody's anxious since this began and the schools closed in March of 12. Certainly young people are very anxious, and I suppose now more than ever we all want to make sure that they'll get back to school safely, and our main target this year is to ensure the health and safety and well-being of all students and staff. I suppose the first thing we want to do to say to students is to reassure them that as a school we are doing everything we can to reduce the chances of anybody becoming sick in the school, or of another person picking it up, or it being transferred to other people in the school. Nobody can guarantee that. But we are doing everything we can to make sure the school is as safe as it possibly can. We are regularly texting parents. We are emailing parents. We are putting material on the website. We are having some Zoom meetings with first-year parents next week. We're particularly we're concerned about all parents and all students, but we want to particularly reassure the first-years who are coming in. They haven't been in the local national school since the 12th of March. So it's a very difficult, anxious period for those students. In any case, moving from primary to secondary is a challenge. It's an even greater challenge now. So we're having Zoom calls. We are going to have a lot of teachers, you know, trying to touch base with maybe students who might have special needs, trying to find out exactly how we can help them. So there's a huge amount going on, even as it is, and being planned to reassure parents and to respond to the different queries that will emerge as the days go on before opening. As well as that, I think what will reduce anxiousness among students and indeed parents as well is that every possible resource is being utilised in the school to make the building itself as safe as possible.
Yeah, I see you're going to have over 100 hand sanitising stations around the school.
That's right, there'll be hand sanitising stations in every classroom, office, hallways, inside all the doors. We will be changing completely how we operated the school from the point of view of entry to the building, leaving the building, and obviously this is all to ensure that the guidelines issued by the department, the hand hygiene, the social distancing, that the cough etiquette, that they are all followed as clearly and as calmly as possible by everybody. We want everybody to be aware of these, but we do not want to create an environment where the anxiousness undermines or destroys the educational experience for the students. So we're trying to balance the health and safety with people feeling comfortable in the building they're learning in and teaching in.
I also see that you're considering preparing student packs with maybe some face masks and stuff. And
yeah, what we're looking at doing is to ensuring that, first of all, with the PPE equipment, we are going to provide all students with PPE equipment free of charge. This obviously comes from, and we're very grateful to parents for their annual parent contribution and the funds they give us. The department have also given us funds for the startup plan, so we're going to provide PPE equipment. We're also looking at maybe providing even sufficient Biros pencils so that students are not borrowing or, you know, exchanging resources like this in the classroom. So at the moment, there's a lot of work going on in preparing those packs and preparing materials and backup whether it's, you know, as I say, biros, pencils, IT equipment, whatever, anything we can provide that makes the experience safer in school. We're trying to do that at the moment.
Okay, and another thing, lockers. Students won't be able to use lockers. So will they have a base classroom?
Yeah, at the moment, the guidance from the department was very clear on that we should look at establishing base classrooms for all classes, and we're obviously following that advice at the moment. There are a number of issues, what I would say, in phase one, we're adopting. One of the things we're adopting is that students will not be using the lockers, but we obviously have a genuine fear of a huge amount of congregation around the lockers. However, as a school, I think strategically, we're going to look at all of these issues after maybe 2 or 3 weeks in the school. Once we see how everybody is adapting to the new guidelines, we will revisit that in maybe the end of September, early October. But we cannot give a guarantee that lockers will be utilised again, or if they will, might be very select few can only use them. Anybody who knows public schools in Oda, with almost 1,000 pupils in some corridors that are, you know, 200 to 300 lockers, that would be, I think, a recipe for disaster if all students were able to access them at the same time, obviously. The other issues we're looking at, I would always kind of refer to the phase one and phase two. Phase one is just the first 3 weeks back and see how we're doing. At the moment, we are looking at deferring all other activities outside of your normal teaching and learning timetable. We have had a wonderful homework club in the school. We have great supervised study. We've had wonderful extracurricular activities, hurling, soccer, football, camogie, lady, everything, the full spectrum of games, basketball. Obviously, we are deferring all extracurricular activities for a number of weeks just to see how we operate at the school. And there may also be changes to the guidelines by then, and to see if we will go ahead with those activities afterwards. But that would be phase two. We were very clear in our plan opening that our initial plan in phase one is to ensure that everybody is safe and that we get the students back to school. So anything that can be postponed for a number of weeks or anything we're not sure of, we're just not taking a risk. We are concentrating on the teaching and learning for the 28 hours per week for the students' timetable. All our energies are going to that, making sure the school building, entering the building, leaving the building, etc., and the classrooms are safe, and all of the desks and new classrooms. We've done a huge amount of work in trying to ensure that the social distancing can be maintained in the building of, you know, over 1 meter between all the desks, and there's a huge amount of work going on for that. So that's what we're concentrating at the moment, just make it safe for phase one.
Okay, would the plan to be have most of the classes in the one class and have the students stay there where possible and bring the teachers to the students?
Yep. That is the policy, that is the theory, and it works great in theory, particularly in primary school. It works, you know, without any major challenges, except for maybe different various activities where they have to move. That it poses a much greater challenge in secondary school, because in secondary school, the students may have a base classroom for, let's take a subject like English. They might be together for the English class. Their next subject might well be a subject like business or art or home economics or woodwork or metal or whatever, where they have to move to a specialist room for that. So while we are giving every class a base classroom, in actual fact, they may only spend between a quarter to a third of their time in that classroom. For senior groups, it's even less than that, because all of the subjects at Leaving Cert level, they tend to break into different groups for all subjects, be it maybe higher level maths, low, ordinary level maths, and then the various subject options. So we are going to implement that policy as far as possible of having students in a base class and teachers moving around. But in practice, at a second level school, a lot of the students are going to be moving.
Lunch times. You've taken out the 11 o'clock break, have you?
The 11 o'clock break is still there. The lunchtime break we have extended. Obviously, everything we do in the school, we have to risk assess it. And we have huge concerns about what was our traditional lunchtime. For example, in the school, again, for people who are familiar with it, we would have maybe, you know, 500 or 600 students in what we call the centre of a school, the triangle area, and in nearby corridors. Doing a risk assessment on that, it just wasn't feasible to allow students to sit in an enclosed area very close together for a prolonged period of time. That is where all of the evidence is showing where, if there is a case of COVID, where it can be spread. So obviously, all of the advice is that outdoors is obviously much safer than in the school, and we had to take measures to try and counteract that. So what we've decided to do is to give the option to students, you know, if they wish to leave the school building at lunchtime, if they're living nearby, they can have lunch at home. If they we have great facilities outside. We have a wonderful Schlina Schlaute, which is being upgraded at the moment, which is a 1 kilometre plus walkway going right around the school building, and we're spending 100,000 at the moment upgrading that to an excellent surface and finish. We have outdoor basketball courts, we have an outdoor pitch. So we're hoping that students not every day, obviously, when it if it's very wet, it to be prohibitive, but on most days we're trying to get as many students as active as possible outside, be it walking, be it, you know, kicking a football, be it, you know, tapping the slitter around the pitch or whatever, trying to get as much activities as possible outdoors to disperse the student numbers at lunchtime. And that's why we have extended the lunchtime. Everything we have at the moment is in draft plan, because a huge amount of changes have been made in the last 2 weeks, and the Board of Management are meeting next week to finalise these plans. And we are consulting with the Parents Association, we are consulting with our staff, and as I say, with the board next week. So what we're looking at is extending the lunchtime so the students would have the opportunity to get home, maybe have a bite to eat, and to come back to the school if they're living in the vicinity. So there's some of the measures we're taking, that the option be given to parents if the students want to leave the school building at lunchtime.
And is there a concern that students may leave and congregate?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first of all, with the size of the school we have, with the 17 acres, we're hoping a lot of the students won't leave the building, which food will still be provided in the environment of the school grounds. There will be at least two different distribution areas for where students can purchase food. So, there will be quite a large area of ground where people can walk and disperse in the school grounds for a start. Obviously, if people leave the school building, we will still be encouraging social distancing at all times. And to be fair, any other private business in the community or, you know, near the school, they also will be under obligation to make sure that there is a proper social distancing in their operations as well. And we certainly hope, we obviously can't control how close students walk together either on a Saturday or a Sunday or outside of school time, but we hope that with the encouragement and with the education and the awareness we'll be creating in school, that you know, students have been very good. I know I was in contact with a lot of people in the community over the summer. They have been, overall, people have been really conscious of the social distancing, and we're hoping that will continue when school resumes.
How will transition year students be affected? A lot of their time for the year is kind of spent doing outside stuff and leaving the school to go work experience and different things like that.
Yeah. Obviously, we want to try and ensure that the experience for transitioner is as rich as it can be. So we met in recent days with the transitioner coordinator, and we are looking at trying to maintain as many of the outdoor activities as possible. Obviously, it will affect the programme offer activities happening indoors, but a lot of the transitioning programme tended to be, you know, maybe walks, hiking, looking, you know, I know last year a group went to the Greenway in Waterford. We have even things like a walk on the beach in Yall for an appreciation of the local amenities, a lot of activities like that. The hill walking we normally have are, you know, to the leisure centres, and we've gone in the past to Mayo and to Limerick and to Kerry. There's a lot of activities locally we can organise where they wouldn't be spending 3 or 4 hours on the bus. An awful lot of outdoor activities we can organise locally and will be organising locally. So while it will be affected, obviously we won't be able to run the transitional programme exactly as it was. We do hope to have a very rich programme for students. The other thing I would say is that rather than the work experience being carried out over a week or two on a continuous basis or 3 weeks, we are hoping that Friday presents the best opportunity for students to get work. I know that a lot of the service providers and retail centres are you know, anxious that if we do provide 1 day a week work experience for students, that will be on a Friday, because that's when a lot of the businesses tend to be busiest. So we are offering the opportunity for students to take up work experience on a Friday. However, we were continuing to organise other activities on Friday as well for students who may not be able to get the work experience, and we're devising that programme at the moment.
Okay, another thing is the book scheme. There's some concerns about that as they're collecting, and how are you going to do that this year?
Obviously, we'd be very concerned about the collection of books within the school, and over 1 or 2 days, maybe 3 days, when students come back to school first, they're collecting 10,000-12,000 books in the school. So what we're hoping to do this year is that for people who are collecting new books, particularly I'm talking about first years and fifth years, we hope to organise some time outside of the school day where parents and the students can come to the school beforehand, collect the books. We can have staggered times in the evening. A number of our staff have volunteered to help out with that, and we're putting a plan in place for that. Again, this is to minimise the congregation of a lot of students at the same time in the school building or a lot of parents. So we're hoping to structure that in such a way that it is safe for people to come collect the books, and that we will be avoiding that kind of concentration of students dealing with the distribution of books during the first week of school term.
Okay, and then I know there was a bit of talk there in the media about washing uniforms every day. I mean, that's not really feasible for a lot of people, is it? Would you be requesting that that be done?
No, everything the school would be doing up to now, we'll be doing it in consultation with the parents, and we'll be reasonable in our approach. Obviously, we're very proud of our school uniform, and we're asking all parents and students to continue with the uniform. But we're all well aware there may be occasions when, look, midweek or later in the week, and somebody will say, look, I couldn't have a clean uniform today. We're going to be very reasonable how we approach these issues. We're going to be very professional, and we are not going to do anything to alienate or antagonise anybody, and we're not going to put unreasonable expectations on any parent or any student in relation to any aspect of school life. And I know I would hope to have a number of other meetings with the Parents Association before we, you know, fully settle down with all the classes. And that's one of the issues that will be coming up from the parents and has already been raised. But as we phase back into school and as these issues arise, I can just reassure everybody we will look at these reasonably and try and come to reasonable accommodation and understanding.
Okay, and just finally, are we 100% confident schools will go back?
I know there's a lot of, I don't depend on social media for sources of solid information, but social media took on a bit of new life last night, I think, when the government made their announcement. We are working on the assumption and on the plan that schools will reopen. I do think the government have put an awful lot of faith in ensuring, and a lot of effort in ensuring, that the numbers of cases in the country is as low as possible, with a very clear objective of trying to open the schools. That still is the plan. Obviously, people are concerned about the rising numbers. But as far as we're concerned, we have to do everything we possibly can to open the schools with a view to have them reopening on the date specified. The fact that the dates were not changed last night makes me reasonably confident that there won't be change at this stage. And I think that all the partners around the table, parents, students, teachers, ourselves, I think we all want them to reopen. We all want to get back at it and hope that it will go well.
Yeah. Seamus, have you anything else you'd like to add before we go?
There is one thing I'd like to add. I'm in the last 2-3 weeks now since the plan was published, we have had a lot of phone calls and emails to the school from almost everybody in the community. We have had parents ringing up, emailing, volunteering to help out. We've had staff ringing up, we're willing to help out. We've had students, we have students in the building today, moving desks, helping out. I just want to say thanks to the people of the Yall community for the great support and goodwill they have shown, and for individual retailers who are sending up food to feed us at lunchtime at very short notice. The goodwill shown has, I suppose, stunned us in a way. We're delighted. So yes, just bawalam to the Yall community, say mila mila buikas. It makes our job very rewarding when we know that Pubble Skull is seen as a key part of the Yall community, and we're very appreciative of that.